Kings, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so far we've looked at two kings. And both of these two kings, on the whole, have been good kings. King Asa. We saw that he was a good king. And from him we saw that a good king seeks and relies on God, listens to the word of God, trusts in God, confidently calls out to God, removes idols which will distract the people from God, calls on the people to seek the Lord, builds up the kingdom. But sadly, at the end of his life, we saw the ugly side of his life where he didn't seek God or rely on God. Then we had King Jehoshaphat. And he was a good king. We saw that he had the right priorities, beginning with true worship, being guided by God's word, not compromising with the world, and being aware that we and he was engaged in spiritual warfare. And as we will see today, as we look at our next king, who started good, he ended really badly. And a bad king basically does or did the opposite of everything that we have looked at so far. After Jehoshaphat, we find King Jehoram. And he ruled for 8 years. And he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And we read about him in 2 Chronicles 21. It says that Jehoram had forsaken the Lord, the God of his fathers. He had also built high places in the hills of Judah and had caused the people of Jerusalem to prostitute themselves. They had led the people astray. He even got a letter from the prophet Elijah saying, "You have not walked in the ways of your father, of Jehoshaphat, or of Asa." And the Lord punished this bad king, this evil king. And his youngest son was the only one to survive. Philistines came and took all of his family away. And he was made king. And his name was King Ahaziah. Now, he ruled for 1 year. And again, didn't do great either. He did evil as well. And in that one, after that 1 year, he was killed as well. Then his mother, Aphilia, she actually ruled in Jerusalem for 6 years. And we are told that she had encouraged her son to do wrong. And after he died, she tried to destroy the whole royal household, even trying to kill her grandchildren. But one was saved. As a baby, King Joash, or Joash, because he wasn't king yet, was saved by his aunt and her husband, a priest, or the chief priest as he became, Jehoiada. And they hid him from her for 6 years in the temple. And at the age of 7, this young cub was crowned king. And he reigned for 40 years. And Aphilia was put to death under the plan of Jehoiada. So it had been a troubled 15 years in the land. The people of Judah had worshipped other idols. They had went away from God, very far away from God. But under the leadership of the priest Jehoiada and King Joash, things were getting back to the right way. As we read in 2 Chronicles, and I encourage you to have your Bibles open at 2 Chronicles 24. But as we read in 2 Chronicles, there are two key words that tell us about Joash's reign. They are restored and forsaken. When Joash was a good king, he restored. He started well. As we read in verse 2, Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. In Joash, we see God restoring the rightful king to the throne, because God had promised that David's line would always be on the throne. So God restored Joash to the throne. Then we see Joash later on, he restored the temple. After years of neglect, as the people had worshipped all of the idols, the temple was in a bad shape. The sacred objects had been used in worship of Baal. And in doing all of this, he also restored worship of God by reintroducing giving financially to the temple. They obviously hadn't been doing that properly. And we read in 2 Kings 12 about this. The money was collected in the census, the money received from personal vows, and the money brought voluntarily to the temple. And we see that the people gave gladly in verse 10. The officials and the people, they brought their contributions gladly. Things were changing. They had so much money that the temple got repaired. They had more left over, so they were able to replace the sacred items for the sacrifices, and they were made in the different dishes, and all the gold and silver things were made. And what do we read about the people then? Well, we read that, yes, they gave gladly. We also read that the workmen worked diligently in verse 13. We also see that there were sacrifices in verse 14. All the days of Jehoiada, burnt offerings were presented continually in the temple. The sacrificial system was working. The people were worshiping God. And from verse 1 to 16, we just get this picture of a good king who was restoring. Sadly, from verse 17 to the end of this chapter, we see a different picture. It goes from good to bad. And when Joash was a bad king, he forsook God. Verse 18, we see that they, and that means the king and the people, had abandoned or forsook the temple of God. And they worshipped Asherah poles and idols. This is important to note because it's basically the exact opposite of what he did when he was a good king. Then God sent prophets to warn the king. But the people didn't listen. In verse 19, sent prophets, testified against him, but they would not listen. They were told, because you have forsaken the Lord, he has forsaken you. But the people, Joash, the officials, nobody listened. Then God sent his judgment. In verse 23, we see that the army from Aram came. They invaded Judah. They killed the leaders, and that was the officials who we hear of time and time again in this story. And they sent all the plunder that they had taken from the people to their king in Damascus. And we read at the end of 24, because Judah had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers, judgment was executed on Joash. And then we see that after this army left, they left Joash wounded. And then his officials schemed against him and killed him in his bed. From verses 17 to 27, we see a picture of a bad king who forsook God and was forsaken by God. We even see that in how he was buried. He wasn't buried with the kings. He forsook God. The story of Joash is a really sad, sad story. And it is one which is full of warnings which we as a church must hear, listen to, and learn from. Why did Joash go from good to bad? Well, I think if we look at it, we can see that first that he listened to the wrong people. Verse 2 is important for our understanding of Joash. Because if we've already said that Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years that Jehoiada was the priest. We've already heard that Jehoiada was a really important person. He had restored the king. He had ensured that worship was happening in Jerusalem. we also read about how he was buried with the kings in verse 16. For a priest to be buried with the kings, this was unusual. This was maybe unique. And it shows us how important and revered this priest was. And while he was around, Joash did good. Joash listened to him. But no sooner was Jehoiada dead than the officials came, the leaders of the people. They came and they talked to him. And he listened to them, and then he abandoned God. Again, in verse 17, they paid him homage. He listened to them. He abandoned the temple of the Lord, and they worshipped Asherah poles and idols. He was easily led, and he didn't own his faith. He listened to them, and they led him away from the temple, which he had restored. He had taken the initiative to do this, and he walked away from it to idols. Maybe they paid homage, so maybe they flattered him. They appealed to his ego, to his pride, maybe to his sense of vanity. Maybe they were saying, you know something, big lad, you are the king. You can do what you want. So let's just go and worship Asherah. You're the king. You deserve it. Asherah was the Canaanite goddess of fertility, who they believed would bring fortune and happiness. And you know, for someone who doesn't own their own faith, it is so easy just to go with the flow, to go with the crowd, the voices that are around you, like Joash did. And also, we must be careful about who we listen to and not allow it to influence us. We need to be aware of the power of outside influence. And as I was trying to think about what is a similar situation to the leaders and the officials coming, I keep coming to celebrity culture. Celebrity culture, basically, if a celebrity says something, everybody thinks it's important, or they're like the UN ambassadors for whatever. And celebrity culture seems to be actually guiding how our world is living. It influences the world. It tells the world that if you live like us, if you do what we do, you will find fortune, you will find happiness. And as it does this, it appeals to us as well. It appeals to our ego, to our pride, to our vanity, to our sense of selfishness. And if we don't own our faith, strong in our faith, we will listen to the wrong people, to the wrong messages, and we will be enticed by the world and the desires of the old self. Joash never owned his faith. He went with the flow. He was a follower and not a leader. And it led to disaster. Disaster for him, disaster for the people, disaster for the officials. We need to be followers of Jesus. Leaders of our faith, being responsible for our faith, growing our faith, developing our faith, being discipled, learning, understanding it, serving, having teachable spirits, listening to the right people, owning our faith, being self-feeders, reading the books, continually learning so that we can stand up for our faith in attack when different voices come in, and we know who to listen to, who not to listen to, and we can defend our faith so that we will not fall for the next fashionable or popular thing, being easily led. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." What voices are we listening to? The voices of the world that try to influence us will try to take us from God, and they will try to destroy our relationship with God and destroy us. So who are the Jehoiadas in your life? Those people who keep you close to God, Those people when you meet and you talk and you discuss things, it just encourages you in your faith. You look up to them and you want to learn from them. It's interesting, in my life, I've had many different mentors, but as I was thinking about this, I've had two Normans. There was Norman Brown, who was a minister at Wellington, and he encouraged me in my ministry to serve and to do so many things, to preach and to go into the ministry. He was a guy I really looked up to. I listened to his words. I learned from him. And he helped me to own my faith, to stand up for my faith, to be strong in my faith so that, I haven't seen him in a while now, but now that his influence isn't as strong, it's still there. I'm still strong in my faith because of him. And in this last 4 years, I've had Norman Cameron, who has taught me so much how to stand and to do what I'm doing now, but how to be a pastor, a minister. We need to have people who talk to us, who tell us sometimes the hard truths, who tell us and keep us going the right way. Without the two Normans in my life, honestly, wouldn't be where I am right now. Who are the mentors, the Jehoiadas in your life, who speak in good things to your life? Or who are the officials? Those voices that are taking you away from God. Who are you listening to? The good or the bad? Are they keeping us good, those influences in our lives? Or are they taking us away from good to bad? So we continue to think about why did Joash go from good to bad. We see that he didn't take care of the small things. He's focused on something big. So Joash, in his ministry, in his kingship, he did one great thing. He restored or he renewed the temple. And you know, if you wanted to do one big thing that's going to be remembered by the people in Jerusalem, do something to the temple. Just build it, fix it up, and that will be great. That's what the world would see and they think, yes, he's working for the Lord. And he probably thought as he did that, yeah, that's great, tick the box, awesome. But maybe this focus on the one big thing distracted him from smaller but really, really, really important things. Because he didn't remove the Asherah poles or the idols. Yes, in chapter 23, we see that the temple of Baal in Jerusalem was destroyed by the people. But we read, back in Kings, that the high places, however, were not removed. The people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense there. The influence of the idols and the Asherah were still in society. In fact, the people worshipped idols and the temple of the Lord at the same time. They had divided hearts. A good king would have removed all of the distractions to the worship of God, ensuring God was worshipped. But you need to remember that these people had worshipped idols for a long time by now. It is part of their society. And it appears that they didn't give it up. They just started worshipping God as well. And we see this problem time and time again in the Old Testament. And really, it means that they didn't worship God at all. Another small thing that he didn't take care of was he didn't promote the teaching of the law. Jehoshaphat had ensured that all the people were taught the law of Moses, as we read in 2 Chronicles 17. But we hear nothing like this with Joash, which would, you think, have been a key thing to do if the people had been following idols for the last 15 or so years, to start teaching people about God and about his law. But he didn't. They had a series of bad kings. They were worshipping idols. But he didn't restore or promote the teaching of the law. He did this big act of the temple and probably thought he was great. But he didn't remove the real problem, the idols, the ignorance of God's laws, which are not small things at all. They are massive issues, and this is what tripped him up and tripped the people up. In church, we can be involved in service and focus on the big thing that we do for God, but don't focus on what could be called the smaller things. Like Joash, we probably think we're doing great things for the Lord, but when we look deeper into our lives, there are problems, there are sin issues, there are Asherah poles and idols that we worship, that we have divided hearts. If we don't remove them, they will still be there. If we don't take action to get rid of them, they will still be there, still influencing. We need to realize that we are like the people of Judah before we came to the Lord. We worshipped idols. And how many of those idols are still in our lives? Jesus said, again in the Sermon on the Mount, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. What are the small things that are tripping us up, giving us divided hearts, stopping us from worshiping God properly? What are those Asherah poles and high places that we haven't destroyed? Over this last half of this week, I have been saying this as I have went to do different things. Is this, or think of different things, is this an Asherah pole that I am going to? Is it distracting me from God? And I've been prompted several times. What do we keep going back to? That helps us to see what our Asherah poles, our idols are. And if we are struggling with idols, it is probably because we are struggling with our Bibles. Not loving the Word of God, not reading and studying, applying God's Word to our lives. Maybe we see it as a small thing, reading our Bible, spending time in God's Word. Because, hey, I'm really busy doing this at the church and doing this and doing this and doing this. I am serving, but we neglect the small things. Removing idols and knowing the Word of God is a massive thing. And if we ignore them, it will trip us up, taking us from good to bad. And as we continue again to think about why did Joash go from good to bad, we see that he didn't heed God's warnings. God sent the prophets to turn the king and the people back to him, but he didn't listen. In fact, the king ordered the killing of this prophet, Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. This man had saved him from death. He had crowned him king of Judah. And in the same place that crowning happened, he killed his son. He had forgotten the kindness of God through Jehoiada. And this was a terrible, terrible thing he did. He wouldn't turn from his idols. He forgot so much because he was so far down the line. Again, do we listen to God's warnings about our faith? If we are straying, backsliding, chasing after idols, are we heeding them? Are we heeding the words of God and turning back to God? Maybe the words of God come through Christian friends who tell us that a behavior we're doing or something we're looking at is not right. Do we listen to our Christian friends who love us and try to build us up? And maybe it's in a sermon and the Holy Spirit prompts us, saying, you need to change this, you need to stop this. But we just ignore it. Because honestly, we really enjoy that thing. So sure, it's got to be okay. No, it's not. Is our behavior like Joash's, becoming even more appalling to God? Because we don't heed God's warnings. Why did Joash go from good to bad? Well, he listened to the wrong people. He was easily led. And he was easily led and he didn't own his faith. We need to listen to the right people and own our faith. building it, growing it, developing it. He focused on the big thing and didn't get take care of the smaller things. And we need to not be distracted by the big thing that we do for God and allow other things like wee idols just to be there and to distract us, or ignorance to God's word to take us from good to bad. And we need to heed God's warnings. When we read a warning in the Bible and we think we need to apply that, or we hear it from a friend or from a sermon or from whatever, we need to listen and respond. All these warnings from Joash's life are important for the church, because as we look at Joash, there are principles that we can learn. There's principles to learn from his life. First, God is faithful and he will judge. God was faithful to Joash, but Joash forsook God. Joash was killed and buried in disgrace. The officials who Joash listened to were faithful to their own selfish desires, and they were killed. The people were unfaithful to God because they had divided hearts, and the land of Judah was plundered. Jehoiada was faithful to God. He stood up. He did what was right. He ensured right worship happened. He did it even though it was scary and difficult. And he was honored by God. So we must be faithful and persevere, being ready for judgment, holding on to the faithfulness of God. Then second, we see that God wants to show mercy. God sent the prophets to the king and to the people. He wanted them to turn. He desperately wanted them to see his mercy, to know his mercy. He is a merciful God. And that is why he sent Jesus for each of us, to show us mercy. So we must respond to that mercy and not be like the people. We must respond to the mercy, the grace of God through Jesus by confessing and repenting and fixing those things that we have looked at that are wrong. And also in light of that, we need to warn the world about all of this. God's judgment. We need to tell the world about God's mercy through Jesus. We need to tell them that they need to repent. They need to confess. They need to be faithful to God and to turn away from idols. And if we're not doing that, then maybe we are closer to the bad than the good. As Zechariah said as he died, "May the Lord see this and call you to account. The Lord sees all and will call us all to account."